Hello, this year is sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. David and Orly Simai, Le'ilu Nishmas Eliol Chaim, Ben Harav Chaim Yitzchok, and Oren Ben Moshe. Okay, this is Elchanan Karitsky. I'm filling in for Rabbi Cohn, who's on his way to Eretz Yisrael now. Okay, so the Chofetz Chaim says in Sefer Kuntres Zechor LeMiriam that we can see from the parsha in Parsha Vayera, the story with Lot and the two guests who are coming to visit, we can see a very powerful lesson about the Midah of Bitochon. He explains that when the two Malachim, which weren't known to be Malachim, when they came to Lot's house, so we know the story was that the people of Sodom came and surrounded the house, and they said, "Send out those two people who came to visit you." So Lot came out to them with a taina. He tried to give a defense for these people that they shouldn't be harmed by the people of Sodom, and the defense that he gave, the logic that he presented in order to save these people's lives, was that these people trusted in me. The words of the pasuk are ki al kein bo'u bitzel korasi. They came to take shelter from me. They trusted in me that I'm going to be able to save them, and therefore Lot turns to these people and says, "I beseech you to not harm them." So the Chofetz Chaim points out that Lot was not a very good person. Chazal Darshin from the pasuk Vayisa Lot Mikedem, that Lot literally means Lot traveled from the east, but Chazal Darshin that what it means is that Lot traveled away. Mikedem is understood to be Mikadmono Shel Olam, from Hashem. Lot was somebody who distanced himself very much from Hashem. He was not a good person at all. And yet, despite the fact that he wasn't a great person, even he understood, with his seichel, even he understood that it would be inappropriate, it would be a terrible avla for Hashem for these people who understood that these two guests put their trust in Lot to save them, to dash their hope. He understood that would be a terrible avla, that would be a terrible thing to do. And I think we could add that not only did Lot himself think it was a terrible thing to do, to disappoint their trust, that people who came and put their trust in him to save them, that their hope should be disappointed, but he expected this bloodthirsty mob, these people who are willing to do such terrible, terrible things, who are going to do terrible things to these people, to sodomize them. So he thought that even they should be able to understand what a terrible travesty it would be for them to disappoint the trust that they had. So the Chofetz Chaim says, Allah has kama v'kama, certainly, kal v'chomer, ben benosha kal v'chomer, how much more so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atmo, than Hashem himself, who's the source of rachamim and mercy. When a person puts his trust in him, be'emes, when a person truly trusts in him, bevadai azrenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly Hashem will help him, lihi notzel mikol ra, to protect him from any evil, from anything bad. Okay. So the question is, why do we have such trouble being able to muster this bitachon? Why is it such a difficult thing to do? So there's a Sefer HaIkrim here who says a very interesting thing. I won't read it inside. It's a little bit difficult to read. I'll read a couple of lines. But he explains like this. He says that really, Hashem stands willing and able and wanting to be mashpia, to bestow chesed on anybody who trusts in him. But the problem is like this, that a person stands up and he says, "There's no way in the world that Hashem is going to do chesed to me because I don't deserve it. Who am I that he should do chesed to me for nothing, for free?" And because of that mindset, because of the fact that the person feels that he's unworthy of Hashem doing chesed to him, so therefore, he doesn't put in the proper trust. He doesn't really rely that Hashem's going to help him because he thinks, "How could it be? It's crazy. Hashem's going to do for me. Why in the world do I deserve it?" And because of that, he doesn't trust properly. And then he continues, because if he did trust properly, ilu hoya mekava koroi, if he would trust properly, lo hoya hachesed nimna, the chesed would not be withheld mitzad Hashem Yisbarach, from Hashem's point of view, from his perspective. Not from him, he wouldn't withhold it. Ki tomid hu rotzel hashpia chesed l'mish mekava koroi, because Hashem constantly wants to bestow chesed to the one who trusts in him, who relies on him to help him. So in other words, what the Sefer HaIkrim is saying, that the biggest threat, the biggest difficulty we have in being able to muster the bitachon is just the simple fact that we think this is too good to be true. There's no way it could work. How could it work that I'm going to trust in him without deserving it, and then Hashem's going to do chesed for me? It can't be. That is our downfall. It's that mindset that there's no way it could be. It's too good to be true, which doesn't allow us to properly trust, and therefore we don't trust, and therefore we don't have the results of that bitachon. But if we did trust properly and we overcome that hurdle, which is the voice that says to us, there's no way, well, how could it be? You don't deserve it. Why in the world should I do it for you? You don't deserve it. Overcoming that would be overcoming the obstacle which is preventing us from having bitachon. So therefore, it really is very important for us to have an understanding of the logic and what it is that makes it that Hashem responds to our trust, because it's that understanding which will allow us to overcome this very serious obstacle to bitachon. So I wanted to just say over a mashal that's brought in the Sefer Igeres al Bitachon, which really explains very clearly in a way that we could relate to what the logic is and what it is about bitachon which I demands or brings about, it generates the response of our bitachon being fulfilled. So he says a mashal like this. There's a guy who lives in a village. A person lives in a small village. A guy named Reuven lives in a village. And in this little village, there's no car services. Not only is there no car services, there's no cars. Nobody has cars. At least nobody that he knows, nobody that he's friends with. None of them have cars. So this person has a little business, and his business is dwindling, going down. And he doesn't know what to do to support himself, to support his family. Then he finds out that there's a certain city not far from where he lives. If he will get there will be the necessary resources for him to be able to reestablish his business and to get himself on his feet again. So he decides that he must go to this city, this nearby city, and that will be his Yeshua. So he has a flight set up for the next day, 12 o'clock p.m. the next day. Today is Sunday. This day is Sunday in the story. The next day is Monday. And on Monday at 12 o'clock p.m., he has a flight that's going to fly into this city. And in this city, he's going to have his Yeshua. He's going to be able to reestablish his business. There's only one problem. He has no way to get to the airport. So he has no friends that have a car again, and he doesn't know anybody. He does know a Jew. The Jew doesn't know him. He just knows of a Jew who has a car. And he decides he's going to call him up. He calls up this Jew, and he says the following. He says, listen, I don't know you. You don't know me. You're a Jew. I'm a Jew. I have a flight tomorrow at 12 o'clock p.m. If I make this flight, this could be tremendous for me. If I don't make this flight, it's going to be very bad. I'm going to be waiting outside tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. with my suitcases ready for you to pick me up so I can get to the airport in time to make my flight. Have a good night. He doesn't wait for the person to respond whether he's going to come or not going to come. He doesn't know. The next day, 10:30 a.m., he's standing outside waiting for this person to come. And he's relying that the person is going to come. He's confident the person is going to come. He's trusting in him to come. He's standing outside with his suitcases waiting for the guy. 10:30, 10:45, the guy doesn't come. He continues standing there waiting. It becomes 11. He's getting a little antsy. He's pacing back and forth. He's nervous. Am I going to make my flight? Am I not going to make my flight? 11:15, 11:30, the guy's not coming. He realizes the plane's going to be traveling without him. What would we say about the conduct of this person who didn't pick up this person, or who didn't pick up this businessman who's waiting for him to pick him up and take him to the airport? He didn't promise him. He doesn't know him. He has no obligation to give it to him. The guy's not paying him a penny. That's an avla. We could understand that's an avla. It's an avla. It's a travesty. It's not good midos. It's not proper to take somebody who's relying on you, who's trusting that you're going to do something for him that he needs or even that he wants, and to disappoint that trust. That's something that's an avla. Explains the Igeres al Bitachon. We say about Hashem, Tzuri. Hashem is our rock. A rock, the Mefarshim explain, is just like a rock, a person can go under a big rock to protect himself from the elements. So too, Hashem is referred to as a rock. as somebody who people take refuge in, and they rely on him, and they can trust in him to have their salvation. Velo avlosabo. Hashem does not commit any avlos. Hashem will not do something such as this to disappoint somebody's hope, to disappoint the trust that somebody puts in him, even though the person doesn't deserve to get something from Hashem, even though Hashem never promised him anything. But if a person puts his trust in Hashem, it would be an avla to take somebody who trusts in Hashem and to disappoint that trust. And therefore, Hashem, who is the epitome of Yashrus and the epitome of everything that is good and all good midos, certainly would never commit such an avla as to disappoint and to dash the hope of somebody who's trusting in him. If we understand this idea and this understanding of the basis for why it is that Hashem responds to our trust, and we understand clearly that it has nothing to do with our schusim and our deserving of the chesed that he does, but rather it's his midah, his good midos, which will not disappoint the trust, no matter what the trust is based on. The bottom line is the person is putting his trust. It is this understanding which Bez Hashem will be able to give us the power to overcome this obstacle that the Sefer Ikrim speaks about, this obstacle which prevents us from having bitachon, because we always have that nagging thought in our head that, oh, I don't deserve it. What's he going to do it for me for? I don't deserve it. If we have clarity and understanding of why it is that Hashem responds to this trust, and we understand that Hashem's response to our trust has absolutely nothing to do with our deserving, but rather everything to do with his midah, his midah of lo avlosabo, that he doesn't do anything which is a travesty of justice, he doesn't do everything which is not the epitome of yashrus and goodness and tzedek and righteousness. If we understand that, then we'll be able to realize that we can put our trust in Hashem. It doesn't matter if we have schusim, we don't have schusim. If we trust in him, we can be confident, like the Sefer Ikrim's Lashon, that Tomid who wrote to Lahashpia Chesed, Hashem is standing constantly desiring to do Chesed, L'mi Shemekave Karoi, to the one who hopes and puts his trust in Hashem. Have a good night.